They were only two words, but enough to make dozens of texts speak. In the stela, the five-year-old Ahau in Naranjo was crowned by the action of the Ahau of Khan. Naranjo's young king belonged to Khan. Naranjo is the name scientists gave to the city. Its original name may have been Sal. The political landscape of the classic Maya resembles many in the old world. Classical Greece or Renaissance Italy are worthy comparisons, where a sophisticated and widely shared culture flourished among perpetual division and conflict, Martin and Grube wrote in Chronicles of the Maya Kings and Queens, 2000, their remarkable summary of the epigraphic discoveries of the last three decades. It was a world crisscrossed by numerous patron-client relationships and family ties, in which major centers vied with one another in enmities that could endure for centuries. As Martin put it to me, Maya civilization indeed bore striking similarities to that of ancient Greece. The Greeks were divided into numerous fractious communities, some of which were able to dominate others by threats of force, unequal alliance, or commerce. And much as the conflicted relationship between Athens and Sparta was a leitmotif of Greek life, so Maya society resounded for centuries with echoes of the struggle between Mutal and Khan. Sometime before 561 AD, a ruler known only as Sky Witness took the throne of Khan. A major figure despite his obscurity, Sky Witness set out to destroy Mutal. The motive for his hatred is uncertain, though it may have been rooted in the invasion from Teotihuacan. The new rulers of Mutal had aggressively thrown their weight around and by Sky Witness's time controlled as much as 8,000 square miles. Mutal city itself had an estimated population of 60,000, plus many more in its hinterland. Particularly important, the Teotihuacan-backed dynasty took over several outposts on the Usumacinta River system, Yucatan's most important trade route. Shipments of luxury goods from faraway places usually had to travel up or down the Usumacinta. Mutal's ability to tax and supervise the trade must have been terribly vexing, even if it had little practical import. Sky Witness may have thought that Mutal was becoming a dangerous neighbor and decided to take preemptive action. Or he may have wanted to control the Usumacinta and its tributaries himself. A dynastic dispute may have been involved. Grube told me that he thought the kings of Khan never allied with Teotihuacan, may have wanted to stamp out pernicious foreign influences. Xenophobia is a powerful motive in every culture. No matter what the motive, Sky Witness's plan to dismantle Mutal was brilliant, in the short run anyway. In the long run, it helped set in motion the Maya collapse. Khan and Mutal had a lot at stake in the conflict. The Yucatan Peninsula is like a gigantic limestone wharf projecting into the Caribbean. Roughly speaking, the northwest-southeast line on which it joins the mainland runs through the middle of the Maya heartland. Despite receiving 3 to 5 feet of precipitation in an average year, this area is prone to drought. Almost all the rain falls during the May to December rainy season and rapidly sinks hundreds of feet into the porous limestone from where it cannot easily be extracted. Little is available during the 5 hot, dry months between January and April. The region does have permanently water-filled swamps, sinkholes, and lakes, but often these are too salty to drink or use for irrigation. So toxic is the groundwater, a U.S.-Mexican research team remarked in 2002, that the Maya realm was geochemically hostile to urban colonization. Its occupation more resembled settlement on the moon or Antarctica than most other terrestrial habitats. Most of the salt occurred in the sediments on the swamp bottoms. To make the water potable, the Maya laid a layer of crushed limestone atop the sediments, effectively paving over the salt. As the researchers noted, the work had to be done before the Maya could move in and set up their milpas and gardens.